This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN, creating a secure tunnel between all your devices and the internet so everything you do online is encrypted. ExpressVPN blocks your internet provider from seeing everything that you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/TMS to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN protection for free. Coming up on TMS, he's the guy with the one monocle.
Baby duck, doot, 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 doot.
Merthyr Firth Burworth year.
March the 10th be with you.
He's got a leechy crotch.
Never trust a beaver.
The duck was a baby!
Sean Bean even dies when narrating.
Beaver tune tube.
I'm a felon. Date me.
Jamiroquai grammar.
Mouthful of chicken pudding.
Corey Feldman is my go-to leech puller offer.
Celebrity politics, politics, politics with jury and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
And the plastic in the aesthetic shield also blocks out abusive rays and assists in the regeneration of cells.
Citizen... dildo.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, this is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for May 4th. Oh, geez. 2021. Let's get it out now. It even sounded bad, not even saying it. Fourth. Blah, 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 blah. Sounds like you got a mouthful of goo when you're trying to say force, and it bugs me. Now it's all ruined. Thanks, Star Wars. Thanks, George Lucas and his millions of fans.
I don't think he had anything to do with it being this day.
Well, if he hadn't created Star Wars and the phrase, may the force be with you.
Point.
You go all the way back to the primordial ooze that
really
is Star Wars.
You really have to really go to the source. Listen, it's my opinion that May 25th should be Star Wars Day, because that's when the first movie came out.
I'm in agreement with you. We've talked about this before, but it's a little like Christmas. Yeah. Supposedly, Jesus was born in the summer or the spring, yet we celebrate it in December, which is which is dumb. Let's have Christmas in spring, baby. Woo!
Yeah. Sure, it doesn't sound like we're saying may the 4th be with you and blah, 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 but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, it just sounds like a mouthful of chicken. That's what it sounds like. So it sounds like somebody, if you're trying to say what day is it? May 4th. Okay, fine. But if they're trying to say may the 4th be with you, it sounds like somebody trying to say force with a mouthful of chicken.
Yeah.
It's
why chicken, by the way?
I don't know.
Pudding. Pudding. Mouthful of pudding.
It could be pudding, could be chicken, could be chicken pudding.
The mouthful of chicken tastes like wood is the problem.
As all best rap song ever taught us. I love that song. All right, we're back at it here, folks. It's a TMS for a Tuesday. We got jury later. We got a fun thing all lined up at jury. Can't wait to do that.
Oh, really? Cool. I have not even looked at what we're going to be talking about with juries. Oh, it's not in there. So
yeah,
it wouldn't matter if I would have looked anyway.
Let's just say a certain... prominent individual announced officially their run for the gubernatorial race of California.
Oh, okay, yes.
And
goes by a couple different names.
Yeah, yeah.
Smells things.
Yep. And let's just say the video that this person created.
Oh, you know what? I realized that there are a couple people because I was thinking... never mind. I was thinking we were talking about The Rock. Didn't The Rock say that he,
oh no, that'd be great. Get The Rock in there.
That would be great. Yes. Yeah. That's who I was thinking. The smells things. Now it looks like,
like, wait a minute. Does Caitlyn Jenner smell something?
I know. Well, she does, but we all do.
Okay.
No more,
she smells Kardashian bronzer. Oh, that's what she smells.
Yes, that's all you can smell in that house.
Well,
anyway, we'll be talking to the jury about that later.
Yeah, it'll be great because her video is ridiculous, and I want to talk about it. So we'll do that.
I haven't seen the video. Dang it!
It's just so
did no homework.
It's one of those I don't know, just super dramatic and like the end of a Bruckheimer film kind of thing. It's just. Ridiculous, but we'll get to that later during the jury segment and not talk about any of that now. Instead, I'd like to talk about saving a duck. Now, this is not Scott tooting his own horn. I'm not here for praise. That's not what this is about. This is about a weird catharsis I got that I want to share with people. So yesterday, walking the dog out by the lake. That's what you do. She likes to pee and poop out there, so I take her there.
And it's her place.
It's her place.
Favorite place for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I like it there too. It's the lake. It's the, you know, there's birds and there's mm-hmm. stuff, you know. So I go to the lake and I got the dog. And I come along, there's this like water off-ramp thing that they built to control the level. So if it rains a lot or whatever, they can let some of it out. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, it's funny because I was looking at the video and it looks like what they have in Seattle is a salmon ladder, but it's obviously not that. You guys don't have salmon swimming back to their homeland in Salt Lake City.
No.
But it's like a runoff.
There you go, runoff.
Flood runoff thing, yeah.
Runoff valve.
Spillway, that's probably what it is.
Spillway. Okay.
Spillway.
All right, thank you, Martin, in the chat. Mm-hmm. Is that like Martin?
Or it could be Mario. But it is Martin, yeah.
Let's go. My name is...
Maybe he just really likes March 10th.
Okay, maybe.
March anyway. The 10th be with you. Anyway.
So anyways, I'm out there, and we're at the spillway there. Mm-hmm. And I hear this... Meep, 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 meep. Just like freaking out sound. And I'm like, what is going on? I can hear something, and I didn't know what it was. So I get a little closer, trying to look around, and there's a little brown little duck stuck, a little baby duck.
Yeah, duckling. Not a duck, but a duckling.
Yeah, a duckling. Very new to the world. Stuck in this drop-off from where the lake thing is, or where the first part of this thing is, kind of like a smaller lake, and then down to the spillway. And it had somehow fallen down. He probably just swam too close to the edge and fell in. And it's, I don't know, 2.5 feet to get back up. So there's no way that duck's getting up, and it doesn't know how to fly yet or anything. Mm-hmm. And I can see the mother and the rest of its ducklings.
The only thing it knows how to do at this point is duck.
Right, that's it. It knows how to duck and cover. So anyway,
that's right, exactly.
So yes. So the mom and the baby ducks are all up top going, meep, 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 freaking out because they can't find little Junior. Probably saying, you dumbass, you're always getting in trouble, you dumbass. That's probably what they're saying.
Wait a minute, I could have sworn I had five of you. How come... Did I miscount?
She seemed very upset. But so I'm like, all right. I quickly pulled out my phone and filmed it, thinking I could film this. But then I went, well, wait, I can't do this with all that. Only two hands I have. So
film, hold the dog, and rescue a duckling.
Right. So I put my phone back away. I tried to hold Rainer with one hand and like tried to reach in there and then step in there. And it just wasn't working. And then this really nice jogger came by. Mm-hmm. And he was very nice because he stopped. He goes, oh, that duck, I thought I heard something over here. Do you need help? Can I hold the dog or something? I said, oh, that's a great idea. Here, and I hand him the leash.
Could you also hold my phone and film this?
Yeah, could you film this because everything's content? He looked at me weird and then ran. he took the leash, so held the dog. That was really nice. I got down into the ditch thing, mm-hmm. and I'd get, you know, it, 1 inch to the left or right, I'm going in the drink because it's like mm-hmm. a foot and a half, mm-hmm. 2 feet of water or something, and I'm prepared to like, this is going to get real bad. But as I got to one side, duck would go to the other side. I go to the other side, duck would go to this side. Like it
that's
wasn't
the other
habit.
Thing that he knows how to do at this age.
Yeah. And they don't want to be, they don't know that I'm saving him. He thinks
that's
I'm there
the first
to kill
lesson
him.
They learn is people stay away from him.
Yeah. So it was real dumb and it wasn't working. And I looked at the guy, the jogger, and said, I don't know if this is going to work. And he's like, yeah, this is weird. And then right around then, a lady shows up with her three daughters, little girls, and a net. Mm. Not a lady named Annette. I mean, like an net.
Is this a new parenting style?
I don't know.
Bring your kids in a net to the park to keep them under control.
Well, you know, these millennials, they've got ideas. Right. But
there's
no,
helicopter
she...
parents, and then there's.
Fishercopter parents are the other
right, exactly. Yes.
So she, what happened, I think, is that she, they had walked past this earlier, saw the mm-hmm. duck, couldn't figure it out either, and went home quickly to get a net, and then came back.
They probably chased it back and forth.
They probably did. And the kids don't care; they'd be happy to get in there. Anyway, right. So she comes back with a net. She goes, "Oh, they're okay, cool." And she gets in, and I'm like, "Sweet, we have a method here." So she scoops the duck out. Takes it around the edge of the other part of the lake where the ducks were, or the parents were, mom was, mm-hmm. and then put it back with its little family and immediately got right in line, right into the little slot.
Cute.
And it saved the duck. Now, some people might say that I had, in the end, very little to do with the saving of the duck. And you'd be right. Technically, I didn't do mm-hmm. anything. All I did was show up and sort of pretend like I knew what I was doing and then failed. And then this lady's the one that came and saved the duck. 100% technically true. However, it felt great to be involved with some strangers and an innocent little duck involved in a, in an interaction that was 100% focused on a duck and its survival and nothing to do with anybody's hangups, anybody's freaking COVID fears or
unfears. Were they wearing a mask? Had they been vaccinated,
all
Scott?
All of that.
What are their political affiliations? Did you find out?
Exactly. All of that stuff out of the way. And it was just pure focus on the duck. Nobody had questions. Nobody had problems. It was just a working together kind of thing. I haven't felt that in a really long time. And I'm just saying it's, I recommend it. If you can go find yourself a stranded duck and some strangers to help, it's a very specific situation.
We're not suggesting you strand a duck just so you can get this feeling. But if the duck is already stranded, then yes.
Yes. And that's the other thing is trying to do all this while Rainer wanted to, you know, basically eat this duck. Yeah. She ended up jumping in because she couldn't help it. Her instincts were too strong and that didn't help. And anyway, now her legs stink. She smells like lake runoff.
Oh, yeah. Like standing lake water, right? Because this is like standing in the spillway.
Yeah. And the spillway is a bunch of, you know, mucky, garbagey parts of the lake. It's not the good part.
You're
going to
pull her out. She's going to look like Will Wheaton in Stand By Me covered with leeches. There's a leech on my crotch, Corey. crotch leeches.
I don't know how many people there are in this world that I would prefer not to remove a leech from my crotch, but one of them is definitely Corey. Corey Feldman. 100% Corey Feldman.
I hear you anyway, have to suck out the venom.
Yeah, fish poop, duck poop, goose poop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
As far as I know, this is a, you know, a goose did this because gooses are dicks and they stranded a duckling. I wouldn't put it past them, but I think it was. Anyway, it ended up just being kind of cathartic. It was like this nice. I don't know, moment of weird normalcy, but also joint effort, people working together toward a common cause, even though it was small and only encompassed 10 minutes. It was just like a nice, I don't know, the nice thing, man. That's all. Just felt good. So
somewhere out there, Mendoza's going, you did right by us, Johnson.
Me.
The flicking of the chin, I think, is a...
Yeah, what is this?
I think that's an Italian bad thing. It's kind of like the arm in the, putting the hand. I think he did the cheek, didn't he?
Yeah, did he?
Didn't he do the cheek?
Someone Marlon in the chat, what is this, chat? Is this offensive? Someone find out if you do this.
Yeah, I think flicking the underside of the chin is a bad thing. Hey. It's an Italian F-U. Yes.
F-U.
F-U, duck.
I'm not being very offended by it. So if someone else is offended, I apologize. But, you know.
Janky Grabber, that arm thing is not the sign for good morning. This? What is this? Because I remember this being a thing.
Yeah, when we were in high school, remember?
Yes, right. And it was like, but you never, like for the last 30 years, 40 years, have not.
I felt like I went nowhere. But at the time, we were all about birds. Birds were great. We were all into the bird. And the bird persists, right? Everyone still loves the bird. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, the bird is endearing, you know, it's got an endearing quality to it. That means it'll never go out of vogue.
But when we were in high school, this came in for a bit, and then some kids would just add the bird to it. So you'd go and bird on top of whatever this is. But I don't think that was the way the Lord meant it.
It's
so I don't know. It's all a blur.
In American Sign Language though, it is good morning.
Is it really?
Yeah, which is according to this video that J.K. Grammer just posted, huh?
Well, J.K. Grammer, you and your video foo. How can we deny it? All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I need advice. I got a dog, another dog. This other dog, her name is Ripley, Ellen Ripley.
Yeah.
And she knows that they shouldn't go back into the building or else they're going to be more aliens than just the one.
That's true.
Anyway, she's a nice dog. We took her to the dog park yesterday. We love her. She's great. I think she's great. But in the last 3 or 4 days... Mm-hmm. Something's happened. She has horrendous paint peeling death breath right now.
Oh, God. Okay.
Real bad. Like if she pants in your direction, you want to die. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's got rancid farts, again, akin to like, you know, mustard gas, just the worst farts. She's not eating as much as she used to. Like, she won't eat her whole bowl anymore. She'll eat, but not all of it. She used to just devour it. Now she's sort of just meh. Now, there was a semi-recent switch from chicken to beef. Same food brand, just flavor change, because Amazon was out of the stuff we normally get.
And dry or wet food?
Dry food.
Dry food. It's probably it, number one. I mean, well, how recent was it?
It was like a couple of weeks ago, but this problem only started like a couple of days ago.
Yeah, regardless of the food brand, the fact that you went from chicken to beef just means that our system's probably getting used to it, right? So
okay,
that could explain the farts and maybe the not eating as well.
Okay, so maybe it's...
It might just be beef breath.
Lennonade is so shocked that we have pet food shipped. Is that unusual for people? Why is that a big deal? Dry food from Amazon? What's the difference?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we haven't even considered that. We have a place here called, it used to be called the Paw Emporium.
Oh my gosh, dude, shut up. Is that true?
And all the vowels were replaced with little paw prints.
Oh, that's just a horrendous idea. I hate it.
Now it's a Chuck and Dunn's, which you hear the name Chuck and Dunn's and you don't think, oh, that's a place for pet food. You think Chuck and Dunn's, like a restaurant or a tax attorney or something.
Yeah,
let's go to Chuck and Dunn's.
Chuck and Dunn's, yeah, it's got an interesting name. Okay, well, that's good. A good local. I mean, I'm sure we could find some kind of local thing, but yeah. We have the, you know, it's a subscribe and save thing, so it just
yeah, exactly. You probably get a really good discount if you're doing the regular subscribe and save thing, but you but then you get this problem where when they're out of chicken, they send you beef,
and this is the problem, yeah. And maybe that's it. I mean, it's only, like I said, it's been 2 weeks of the change, but only a few days of the problem. Some in the chat are saying check her teeth and gums for like infections or weird stuff stuck or
possibly. Yeah. Sometimes I can for the pet breath.
And she's, you know, she's pooping okay, but it's a little on the soft serve side, you know. Just a little bit on the old, hey, McDonald's, I'll have a cone kind of.
The broken soft serve machine.
Yeah.
Perennially broken soft
just
serve machine.
Just a wee bit. Oh, I saw the funniest video about that.
Yeah, I think I did too. Why is the, you mean the music one? The one that went back and forth?
No, it's this guy.
Why is your machine always broken? Hey, bruh. It's always I think it's not really broken. I'm coming in. You come in, we're going to have a problem.
No, I want to see that one now. I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was, I don't know how that one made it to me, but
the one I saw, and there's still a chance it was faked. I don't know, but it was a video of a dude in a drive-thru saying, hey, is your ice cream machine working? Guy goes, yes, it's working fine. He goes, okay, well, I'll have a whatever cone, this and that. And then you hear this crash sound coming from the speaker. And then the guy goes, it just broke or something like that. Now, he may have made it up, but if that's true, an ice cream machine breaking while you're in the freaking drive-up is pretty great.
That's great.
Pretty
good. Like, it's like you're witnessing a solar eclipse.
Right. I think that's hilarious. And also don't know if it really happened because you can fake anything now. So I'm skeptical of all things. Dude, I'm a skeptic, Brian. That's what I am now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm skeptical that this is even on the air. Can you guys even hear us? Are we real? Who are we? What are we even doing? Can you even hear us on the radio? Hey, TVZ Gone, do you hear my voice? I don't know. You may be lying to me. Who knows? This is interesting. Weird article about all the McDonald's ice cream machines.
A wired article.
Oh, I wrote.
But it could be a weird article.
Could be weird.
By the way, I do have that video. It's funny. It's the same audio, which I guess is a TikTok thing, right? You just basically make your own new video to the same old.
Oh, right. You can.
Same song.
Yeah, you can totally do that if you want.
So here's, it's in our Discord.
Oh, you have it? I'll play that. Play it. Yeah, I'll totally play that. Here we go. And it's not working. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh,
here we go.
Of course it is.
Just taking
it. Of course it isn't.
Welcome to McDonald's with your order.
Can I get an Oreo McFlurry?
We're not serving ice cream right now. It's broken at the moment. Can I get you something?
Oh, I know you're gonna say that. Let me go into my 7th chair, the bag.
So you gotta calm down and accept that.
I know your ice cream machine working, yeah, it's all cap.
I'm not lying, it's broken.
Well, it better be, cause I ain't coming in.
And if you're coming in, I'll get your ass pinned.
Then I'ma fight you over ice cream then. What do y'all think, who is gonna win?
Welcome to McDonald's.
Stop. That's playing over again. That's amazing.
TikTok. Just horrible.
So horrible and wonderful at the same time.
Horrible and wonderful simultaneously.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. I don't know that Captain Kipper, I don't know that auto-tune's the problem, but maybe.
Yeah, that's right. That's a problem, yeah. But it's not the problem.
Yeah, it's maybe not the problem. All right, an email for Brian Ibbett.
You're absolutely right. Weird Al did it better, yes.
No,
yes.
He totally did. Brian, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
This is from Logan. Not little Logan. From Logan's mom,
many Logans. There's Logan in Utah there.
There is Logan, Utah. Logan. Yeah, home of Utah State University.
No, I mean, there's a listener named Logan who lives in Utah. I don't know if he lives in Logan, Utah, but...
Oh, that'd be amazing. I hate it up there. The wind blows so cold in the winter. I hate it in Logan. Hate it. Right now, it's probably nice, but in the winter, F it. Anyway, hey, squash and broccoli. I have a question for the major spoiler segment. The reason I'm playing it now is because I think Brian would probably know more. I recently watched the Amazing Spider-Man movies, and one of the things I find most interesting about those movies is the plot line with the secrecy behind Peter's parents and the implied link between their work and Peter's powers. I was wondering if there was any good comic runs that delve into that and whether or not the MCU will or should adapt any of that material. Love the show. Logan. So, Brian, you've read a lot of Spider-Man.
That's the series that I've... read and collected the longest. And
so is there anything in there that tells you the Uncle or
sort of? Okay, so Richard and Mary were Peter's parents. Although what's really funny is if you Google Peter's parents, the first thing it says is Ben, Peter's father. It's like, no, he's uncle.
Great. The internet can't.
Richard and Mary. Right. Yeah, right away everything's effed.
Yeah.
But Richard and Mary are Peter's parents, and they in regular canon, they were early agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Who were killed by Baron Strucker, who we saw in Age of Ultron. He's the guy with the one monocle. And in the comics, he's bald. But in the movie, I think in the movies he's bald. But instead of the monocle being attached to a chain, it's like grafted onto the side of his head.
It's like bolted into his temple.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Anyway, so he killed them. There was a little bit of a resurgence, or not a resurgence, but a Peter's parents are alive storyline in the 70s, maybe 80s, where but it turned out to be Chameleon doing life model decoys.
Oh, right.
That's a good point. All right. Two monocles, I guess, are just glasses. TVZ. A single monocle.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that one of them two-wheeled bicycles? Anyway, so it's so they kind of stayed dead. Now in the Ultimate Universe, Peter's parents were involved more in like the science. They weren't S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, but they were more like scientists who were working on stuff. I don't think like in the movie, I think it's his it's his idea for the web shooters that that Peter Parker develops, Richard's idea for the web shooter.
That was his dad's concept, and
concept, and then he fleshed it out and made it real. But I think that might have been a movie only thing. But in the Ultimate Universe, they were more involved in things that would have led to Spider-Man's abilities or powers or things like that. But in regular canon, it's like an early, 1968. So just a few years after the creation, they had to give us a story about Peter's parents. But they did a thing, and I think that's where that graphic comes from that Captain Kipper just put in Discord. There's a Untold Stories of Spider-Man series.
Captain Kipper, how is he in our not our Discord, sorry, in the chat, you mean.
Sorry, in the chat. Yeah,
keep going.
Untold Stories of Spider-Man actually had a big, long story about Richard and Mary Parker and their undercover operations for S.H.I.E.L.D. I think even the story where they die, and they get involved with another agent named Agent 10, who turns out to be Wolverine.
What?
Amazing how everything's connected.
Yeah. What? Oh, man. But Fox owns it. Just kidding. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. So whether or not that should be, I don't think the MCU should pull that stuff out because it just feels too coincidental, right? It feels like, Peter Parker's parents should be just dead. Just dead.
Yeah.
Just so that he can, you know, his relationship with Aunt May is important, and that's what, and Uncle Ben obviously is what sets him on the right path with everything. So if you start retconning his parents into the picture or any of that stuff, then it kind of...
I tend to agree. I think you leave that one alone.
Yeah.
It's exactly. too, it works in comics, and even then it's a little iffy, but in comic books they can get away with screwing around like that. I feel like in...
Yeah.
films or specifically the MCU, you got to decide on a couple of things and then just hold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. you know, is it vibranium?
Like Bruce Wayne's parents, right? What if we found out, oh my gosh, they didn't really die in that alley. They've been alive the whole time and hooked to a machine in Central City.
Right. But it's like, you know, Captain America's shield is vibranium in the films and in the MCU, but in the thing, it's Wolverine material stuff, right?
It's adamantium, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's vibranium. It might be vibranium now, but originally I want to say it was.
Right. But they couldn't do that because then they'd have to cross over the properties, which were owned by...
I don't know. Fox probably owned adamantium, right? Owned
probably, I would assume. Yeah. I don't know, because when they first came out with that shield...
That's and right. It's a 50-50 poly blend of vibranium and adamantium. That's right.
Always check your tags before you buy your shield. And
wash that shield in cold water, else the colors will run all over everything else you wash with.
Yeah. Or use that shit. But was that stuff they advertised it to us when we were teenagers? It wasn't for us, but our parents. And it was something for.
For color stain, making colors stay.
Like, yes. What was that called?
Yeah, right. It was a special...
Wool light? No.
Wool light's a bleach, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay. Was
it? Yeah, because you put that in there.
Because
the whole advertising campaign was about this guy going to work with a pink shirt.
Yeah, Popsimer Klein says Aquanet. No, we don't mean hair stuff.
That's hairspray, man.
Was it Wool light? Oh, yeah, Wool light was a hand wash detergent. Maybe that's what I'm actually thinking of.
I thought Woolite was a bleach. Was there a Woolite?
Because Woolite, you did it in a sink, right? And you did it real careful because it was your cardigan or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't believe I remember any of that.
Your cardigan. Maybe it was Woolite. Maybe I'm thinking of something else that that was bleachy.
Whatever. The main point to take away here is,
yes,
in the 80s, they really marketed things and you heard it all the time on TV. It worked. Because I can remember the name Woolite all these years later. Well done, whoever owned that brand.
Woolite.
Well, as you
only
can see,
works on wool.
I believe I'm with Brian on this. Don't do anything with his parents. Just he's orphaned. It's enough.
Up until they cast Tom Holland, I actually thought Andrew Garfield was a decent Peter Parker, right?
Like, yeah,
I
liked him.
All right, this is good casting. He's got the nerdiness and the he's believable as this wiry little kid who could kind of pull this stuff off.
Yeah, he worked.
But
I liked him.
Yeah.
It's a bummer because he just happened
everything
to...
Everything else about those movies, sadly.
Yeah, they weren't great. He just happened to come in at the wrong time. It was bad timing.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. We don't blame it.
By the way, we've been watching... speaking of casting, we've been watching season 2 of Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Sean Bean is freaking awesome in this. Like, he is...
He's great.
He is great. I mean, he's great in everything, but boy, is he playing a dick.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. You know he has to die, too. That's the rule. So
right. It's the rule. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know.
No, I get excited. Dude, all you have to do is say Sean Bean's involved in any project, and I get all excited. Mm-hmm. Like, when I heard he was the narrator for Civilization VI, I about lost my mind.
Oh, really?
And I still love it. I still love to hear
him. Does he die in there?
Yeah, that's the thing. He never dies.
How does he die as the narrator?
We're waiting for the final DLC where he finally kicks the bucket in there. But it's great because when you introduce your, like, let's say you picked Teddy Roosevelt as your leader. Because
right.
That's who the American one is in that one. And it's just great because he's like, President Roosevelt, you've come at a time when the bibbidi-zibbidi-boo... Bibbidi bobbidi, I'm covering for this loading screen, so I'm saying a bunch of words, and it's fantastic. It's so good. He was a great pick for that. Well done, Hollywood. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brian, we're going to do a thing we haven't been able to do for 3 days.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's the news.
And dance by the light of the moon.
Today's news is brought to you by
Scott, I hear that there's only one day left on the Rock Runners Kickstarter. Tell me, what is this thing that I hear about called Rock Runners?
Well, Rock Runners Incorporated is a really fun, up to four players can play card game. And if you have family members or friends that are just like, man, we're sure bored on a Saturday afternoon.
Both.
Oh, good, good, perfect. Get this deck and lay it out and play the game. It's fantastic. And we unlocked 10 count them 10 stretch goals, none of which we thought we'd even get near to. I didn't think we'd do more than one or two, but we did. And the 11th is about to get cracked just in time because the Kickstarter ends Wednesday. And that means you've got, I think, maybe less than 24 hours time or something to get in here if you haven't done it already.
Is the current stretch goal the Carter Art stretch goal?
It is. So if we unlock that, the 10th goal opened up these character cards, which I'm creating. The 11th goal gives you two sets of those, and one set is collectible art from Carter. And we all know she's better than any of us, so this is why you want to unlock that one. She's really good, and she also just finished her last school project before graduation, and she's feeling very free and creative right now. So perfect time for it. Go check it out if you haven't yet. There's video, there's updates, there's other stuff to help explain everything. It's all there for you to see for one more day, and that's over at kickstarter.com. Just search for Rock Runners or go to rockrunners.art and it'll take you straight there.
Very cool.
All right, let's do some.
I gotta ask you, by the way, before we do this first news story, did Carter cry when you told her the duckling story?
No, she was thrilled that we did it. She would have maybe if we were, she would have been there, she might have shed a tear or two, but it wasn't so bad.
Oh, if she were there, heck with her phone, her purse, whatever. I don't think she doesn't seem like a purse kind of person, but she would have jumped in the water and rescued that duck. And who for needs sure. a net?
Yeah.
And
she did shave her head again yesterday. I don't know what that was about, except it looks good. But she's sick of trying to grow her hair out, so she cut it and it looks great. She can pull that very off. Cool. She can pull off the Sinead O'Connor pretty well.
Yeah.
The rest of us cannot do that hair very well.
No. I tried it. I tried tearing up a picture of the Pope. It just didn't work.
I had to explain to her that story because she'd never heard of Sinead O'Connor.
Fight the real enemy.
Yeah. I'm like, you know the song, Nothing Compares to You, is originally a Prince thing, but she did the cover that everyone knows. Oh, maybe. And then I'm like, let me play it. Mamaxa, play the brr. And she played a little bit. She goes, oh, well, what's her deal? She's bald, Carter. She shaved her head. Well, what's the part? What's the part with the Pope? Oh, she tore the picture of the Pope up on SNL. Oh, anyway.
You know, we said her name three times. She appeared in the chat room.
Is she in there now? Hey, Carter, you should put up your photo and show everybody your cool new hair. It's pretty rad. I'm not one to, like, you know, exploit my children's photos on the internet, but I think she looks great. Okay, where were we, Brian?
Right.
Oh, first story here.
All right.
Yeah. Let's get to this beaver story. Beavers have chewed.
Chewed. Past tense, chewed.
There's no way that's right.
Definitely not right.
Yeah,
no.
There's no way.
Chewed.
You beavers do a chewed or chew through a 4.5-inch thick tube. It wasn't a lava tube. Disrupting internet service for 900 British Columbian, is this British Columbia?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, good. Oh yeah, Prince George and all that. Mm-hmm. British Columbia customers, your internet went down.
What?
Yeah.
That guy was right, so the internet is a series of tubes?
It's a series of tubes.
Holy cow!
That's my understanding.
I thought it was something else, and we've been proven by a beaver that it is a series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes. Now, this isn't the newest story because, again, we haven't been able to do news for about half a week, but here it is nonetheless. Tumbler Ridge, a four-hour drive northeast of Prince George, with a population of 1,982 people, are in the midst of what is now a two-day-long TELUS coverage outage due to damage to local fiber cables by resident wildlife, in particular, beavers. Never trust a beaver, dude. Never.
Never trust a beaver.
Yep. Don't trust a beaver. Here's why. They just want to build dams and F up your internet. That's why.
Mm-hmm. You screwed up your damn internet.
That's right. Here's a quote. It feels very unusual and uniquely Canadian turn of events, says TELUS spokesperson Liz Suave.
Liz Suave.
In an email, talking
wife
to her husband.
Wife to Rico.
Yeah, I was going to say that her and Rico have been married for years now. beavers have chewed through our fiber cables on multiple points, causing extensive damage, read her statement. Seems like you'd be more prepared for this, but whatever. Internet service for about 900 homes and businesses, as well as cable services for 60 customers, were disrupted on Saturday, April 24th, just after 4 a.m., soon after crews were sent to investigate. They found that their safeguards don't always work, and beavers are just doing what comes naturally to beavers. It says our team located a nearby dam. It appears the beavers dug underground alongside a creek to reach the cable, which is buried about 3 feet underground and protected by a 4.5-inch conduit or tube.
Tube.
The beavers chewed through the conduit before chewing through the cables in multiple locations. They say they worked around the clock to get this fixed, and I guess it's all good now. You guys are good?
Oh. When are you going to get the cable fixed, eh? I can't watch the Montreal Canadiens game.
Oh, I played hockey last night. That's funny you bring that up.
Did you?
I got in the mood, yeah. Their Game Pass on my Xbox, they have NHL 2021, or I guess whatever it's called, 2K21 or whatever it is. Anyway, it's a great hockey game, and I was playing hockey, and I love hockey. Of all the sports video games, my favorite. I love hockey.
That's cool. Great.
Yeah.
Very cool. Meanwhile, Iron Man and Marvel Avengers is somewhere still sitting there waiting for me to guide him through the next set of AIM agents to kill.
There you go. Get on that.
Yeah, I will.
Did you end up playing, what was the game you got with your
PS5? Dope Romantic?
No, you got it with your PS5. What was it?
Oh, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I did play that.
Yeah, you finished it all and beat everything?
Oh, completely, 100%. Yeah. Beat it, completed it, got the t-shirt. Yeah.
Got it. 100% of that game immediately.
Yeah. Probably 20% of that game. But
that's not bad. That's a lot.
But yeah. Look, here it is right here.
Yeah.
Out of the box. Yeah. Out of the package.
A disc. A disc. I haven't owned a disc in so long, I forgot what they look like. All right, moving on.
Such a renaissance, man.
I know. No, I like it. You're keeping them alive.
Here's the other thing. Can't find the damn port. Can't find the hole on my PlayStation. There it is. Oops.
Oh.
Turned it on by shoving a disc in its slot.
Uh-oh. Now what?
Go back to sleep, PlayStation.
Yeah. Kill code.
That's right.
I forgot what I was going to say. No, I like that you're single-handedly keeping physical media alive. I think it's fantastic.
Single-handedly, yeah.
There are a lot of you, it turns out. There's a lot more.
This was way cheaper on Amazon than buying the digital for Avengers. I bought digital for
I do that with Nintendo all the time because they often
have for deals. Switches totally. Yeah. Because why keep a big stupid box? Mm-hmm. For such a little tiny cartridge.
I agree. I think it's a retail thing, right? Because if you don't have something you can show off on a retail space, then...
Here's what it comes down to. I'll buy whichever's cheaper. If you're saying the buying the disc is $25 and buying a digital is $60, I'm going to buy the disc every time.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, it's all same. You're not wrong to do that.
Yeah.
Jerry Tolbert...
One more defense, by the way... Labels still send me effing discs.
Yeah, look at that.
Labels and artists still send me discs for me in the middle. So
they don't send you like digital codes and stuff. I would have thought that would.
Some of them do. Mm. Some of them do, but some don't. And I still have have a drive hooked up for just that purpose.
That's right. Brian's ever got a drive, ever shooting a laser, seeking out tracks.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
1983 technology.
Jerry Tolbert, he says the Xbox cloud gaming on iOS is fun. New round of beta access went out yesterday. Jerry, you can't do invites, can you? Because I still don't have an invite. I really want to try that. I mean, I love Game Pass and I use it all the time. I love my Series X, but I don't have a beta invite for the freaking cloud thing, and I want to try it on my phone and my tablet. I really do. So, hey, Jerry. I don't know why I'm putting it on him. He can't do anything about it. All right.
And Lendonade asks, do they only send you cover songs? No, they send me, it's everything. Like that thing I just held up, there's not a cover song on there, but it's, it's music for any in the middle and stuff like that too. It may be a band that originally sent me a cover song, but once they find out that I play regular stuff here, they send me whatever.
Right. And I'm just guessing that for smaller labels, the distribution system of just send them a disc is probably still easier.
I guess. I don't know. It seems a lot cheaper to drop a link in an email, but maybe there's a
I think there's a copyright problem there. Like
maybe, yeah, multiple like those emails can get forwarded around really easily. I don't know.
Yeah. Or you gotta have, you know, a back end that's like super authenticatable and then only one copy can go. You know, like it just gets complicated, I think. I could be wrong.
Yep.
All right. A man. Let's get to a man.
A man. Man.
Oh, I just saw a movie where the main character played by an Oscar winning actor. His credit in the film is man.
I saw that. An Oscar-winning actor who may have thrown a phone at an assistant or something at one point.
Paparazzi.
Is that going to be your recommendal tomorrow?
It was going to be that animated thing, but I heard that Nicole's doing that. So I'm going to let her have at the Mitchells versus
I'm going to let
machines.
You have that, Nicole.
And
listen,
I'll do
she's
got to
show up. Yeah. If she doesn't show up, then you're using it.
Oh, good point. If she doesn't show up, I'm doing both. That's what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell you that. I'll tell you right now. All right, a man, not played by Russell Crowe, finished a 480-mile hike in a bear suit and later described the stench inside his costume.
Does he? I don't even think he needs to describe the stench inside.
I feel like that might be why this story got to me. Somebody sent this to me.
Probably, yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Some fan was like, oh, you'll love it. He has a stinky suit. Jesse Larios walked almost 500 miles, and he'd walk 500 more. Just a bee. From Los Angeles to San Francisco in a bear suit. His trek began at 6 a.m. on April 12th in the Little Tokyo neighborhood in Los Angeles. The goal was to finish the walk in less than a week, he wrote on his Instagram page. It took a little longer than planned, but he celebrated his finish with a crowd of people as he reached his final destination on Saturday at the Golden Gate Bridge. Quote, "Everybody look, there's the bridge," he told followers on his Instagram live account. Everybody look.
Everybody look.
Larios raised almost $16,000 on GoFundMe, as well as another $2,000 on Venmo and via cash donations, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. He plans to donate it all to charity and has asked followers to suggest where the money should go. I think that's pretty cool. According to the newspaper, Larios, a 33-year-old data worker at a healthcare company, made the journey carrying just his phone, a few toiletries, socks, and a flashlight. He also carried...
socks?
Yeah, like, socks. I don't know. That's weird,
you don't
right?
want to go barefoot.
I get it. Touchdown, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but seriously, why socks?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Unless it's maybe, I don't know, just to soften the foot part of the bear suit. I don't know.
I guess so.
It's a long walk, so who knows? Probably going to cushion things.
I mean, if he's wearing the socks, that's a different thing. Yeah. But they say he's made the journey carrying just his phone, a few toiletries, socks, and a flashlight. I guess maybe you run into the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah, and you need a wiener sock.
A wiener sock.
Yeah, everybody needs a wiener sock at the ready, even a bear. He says he also carried some cleaning supplies for his costume, a teddy bear character he created named Bear Son. I don't know why that's a thing. Bear Son.
Okay. Bearson.
Or Bearson? Bearson.
Bearson. I don't know.
That's weird.
It's not, I'm looking, his name is Jesse Lario, so it's not like it's a play on his own name, but no, Bearson. Like no. Benson, I guess, maybe? Benson. I don't know.
Benson.
Some cleaning supplies for his costume.
Bearson. Nice. After completing his journey, he described the smell inside the costume as pungent. Like when you first open a bag of Doritos and that fart smell comes out. Oh, I think hold off on the Dorito hate. I like the smell.
Yeah, well, I guess there's one person, the one company that's not going to sponsor your next trek, Yogi.
Yeah, no, but Doritos smell good in the bag. It's when you smell like Doritos that's a bad smell. Only then.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh, that's gross. That's what I used to call, that's puberty boy foot smell. So when you got like not just boys, but... I just always have this very vivid memory of being around 12 myself and friends smelling their feet at like sleepovers, smelling like Doritos. And then Nick, when he was around 12, his feet smelled like Doritos. And it's foul because that's not Doritos. Right, like if it was Doritos, I go, oh, Doritos. But it's not. Nick's foot.
Right. It's knowing what that smell is coming from that is like, oh, that's gross. But if you open a bag and smell that exact same smell, that'd be fine. Yeah. Yum, give me one.
I do like the term Dorito feet. I think it's funny.
Still have maybe a third of a bag of fishball snack.
Yeah, I wish I could say that. I ate them all.
Gotta eat them all. Well, there wasn't much in there. And that's probably, I can't read the back of this thing, but it's probably one serving size. So,
well, there you have it. One more story here before we take our break and bring Justin in. There's a story about a man who allegedly boasted about his Capitol riot on January 6th attendance on his dating app or on a dating app and then got arrested as a result because he's stupid. Ah,
yeah. Imagine that. Yeah. Yeah, these guys couldn't help but live stream and post photos on Instagram. And yeah.
If you think about that just for a second, your brain starts to fall apart because it's already everything about it's shitty, right? All of it's shitty. But
I'm gonna wear a mask and dark glasses, cover up my face, but hey, like and subscribe. Here's my link, everybody. Make sure to check me out as I storm the Capitol.
And they're doing like literally doing live streams. Like I don't know what to call it. You know, you could say, that's just the epitome of people who feel like they can get away with anything. A privilege, I guess.
And there might be part of it, right? Like they're, you know, a lot of them were even saying during the event that don't worry, Trump will protect us or Trump will pardon us or whatever. But then there really is just the people who don't make the connection that your anonymity is only good as far as the end of your social media account.
Yep. Yep.
Once it crosses into the other one, then yeah.
To me, it's the stupidest thing. I just still to this day, I cannot believe
it. The greatest example of Darwin. Well, I guess unfortunately these people still can go and procreate. But
well, part of the problem was, I'll just put this out there. When you're that brazen about it and you're taking selfies and you're filming it and you're streaming it, it might be because a certain person in power, it seemed like that person was behind you all the way. Mm-hmm. So you felt like you had the coverage of
had,
at the
he
time
had your
most,
back. Yeah,
he didn't really, but he
didn't
for sure talked like he did, and so as a result maybe they just really felt that way, like they really felt like, oh well, he's with us. He even said he'd be down here arm in arm with us, which he wasn't, but he said he would be at that final speech that set everybody off. So they probably all just like, yeah, we're good, we got this.
Look at all the people he's pardoned. He'll totally pardon us. Wait, what? He isn't?
It's really shitty.
No, it's
such a garbage moment in our history.
Really was.
In lots of ways, not just the treasonous ways. Like, that's the awful, right? But also, it's just so stupid. It's so stupid. And people died. It is lame.
Yeah.
I haven't properly gone off about this, I guess, on the show. And I won't now. I'm just going to say.
It was stupid. There was a dude walking off with a podium waving at the camera.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucked.
And another dude dressed like Jamiroquai.
Yeah. And Jamiroquai, I think he's in jail right now. And upset.
Poor Jamiroquai.
They don't have meatless options at the jail he's in.
And that's right. And the walls keep moving in and he keeps dancing around. There's like a couch that keeps going back and forth. And
I hate that video.
Kidding me? That's the greatest video.
I don't like it.
How do you hate that video?
I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Nice tomato. It's so cool because you think that, like...
The chat room thinks we're really saying Jamiroquai is in jail.
Yeah,
we're talking about
Jamiroquai is not in jail. No. We're talking about the QAnon shaman.
The shaman guy, right. He just looked like him. That's all that was.
Yeah. He dressed like the Jamiroquai band symbol. Yeah. There really isn't a guy named Jamiroquai. There's a guy named JK who's the lead singer of Jamiroquai. So,
last name Grammer. We know who he is.
That's right. His name is JK Grammer. Yeah.
I know. It's all coming together. Holy shit. All right. We're going to take a... That's the whole story, by the way. The guy bragged about being...
Oh, yeah. On a dating app.
Yeah. Helped storm the Capitol because he's all super proud of it. And then he got arrested.
Swipe right into jail.
Yep. Swipe right for jail. Swipe left for jail also. All right. We're going to take a break when we come back. Justin Robert Young will join us. I got a little Caitlyn Jenner business I want to talk about, but some other stuff too. So stick around. That'll be right after this song selection from the vault of Brian Ibbett.
Oh, a song. Oh, a song. Okay. Mm. Hey, big thanks to Earshot Media for this one. This is so cool. So, listen, Cameron Webb is a guy who, has produced a bunch of the great ones, right? Sum 41, Pennywise, Motorhead, Megadeth. He's also producing the new EP or produced the new EP from Authority Zero, another great new punk band. These guys are awesome. They got a brand new EP called The Back Nine. Listen, I don't have to tell you how cool Authority Zero is because you've probably heard them. You're already familiar. This is from their brand new EP. It's the title track. It's called The Back Nine. Here is Authority Zero.
If there's anything I like Express, it's my, well, it's my VPN. Look, have you ever wondered why internet access is so much cheaper these days? Like 30 to 40 bucks a month? Well, it's because internet service providers like Comcast, AT&T, or whoever aren't just making money off subscription fees. They're also making money from spying on your internet activity and selling your history and data to big companies, usually big tech companies. So what's the best way to make sure that 100% of your data is encrypted and yours, and that your internet provider can't get a hold of it? Well, you guessed it, ExpressVPN. They create a secure tunnel between all your devices and the internet so that everything you do online is encrypted. And it's not just for your phone or computer. ExpressVPN works on all your devices. It works on your tablets, smart TVs, even your routers, so your entire family and visitors can always stay protected. I can't stress this enough. ExpressVPN is so simple to use. You just open up the app, tap one button, you connect, and that's it. That's my favorite thing about the service. The simplicity is insane. Your data is your business. Protect it at expressvpn.com/TMS. That's expressvpn.com/TMS to get 3 extra months free of ExpressVPN protection. That's expressvpn.com. Let me spell it for you. ExpressVPN.com/TMS to learn more.
Count Yorga Vampire continues after these short messages.
I found you on the internet.
The Morning Stream. Smooth, flowing, and unbroken.
Scott Fletcher's right. We are smooth, flowing, and unbroken. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for 11 years of that.
They're true.
Yeah, it's all true. Hey, Brian, that song again, if you don't mind.
That song again, Authority Zero from their brand new EP called The Back Nine. That right there is the title track.
Oh, it sounds real good. That song I just heard, man, really sticking with me.
Oh, really sticks with you. You know, I'm still singing it in my head from just listening to it.
Yeah, I can't not hear it, honestly.
Yeah, it's all I can hear.
It's all I can hear. Check this out.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Joining us from Austin, Texas. I'm getting used to saying this now. It's not, mm-hmm. it's no longer mm-hmm. slipping into Oakland, California anymore, but somebody who doesn't have to worry about a runoff to remove a governor right now and at the moment. Justin Robert Young joining us from the PX3 studios. Hello, Justin.
A recall.
Recall.
Yeah. Runoff. It's funny. You said runoff because I'm working on the PX3 episode for tomorrow before I started. And there's another runoff. And I'm like, wait, are we talking about that too?
Are we talking
about the runoff in Texas or the recall in California?
What's the runoff? Just briefly, what's that about? I didn't know there was one.
We can get in the weeds. But Fort Worth, Texas, around that area, there was a special election over the weekend, and there will be a runoff now that will be between two Republican candidates, as a Democrat was unable to break into the top two positions, and so therefore there will be no Democratic offering in the runoff as it stands.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So that sounds like a fun local nightmare.
It became a thing because Trump stepped in, and there was a candidate that was running as like a never Trumper who did not do well at all. And then there was a guy who keeps saying that he's a WWE wrestler when he never really was on television as a WWE wrestler, who also had previously, like months ago, just run for a seat in Nevada that he lost.
Yeah.
And then just came to Texas and he's like, I'm in Texas now. I really want to go to Congress.
Wait a minute. Isn't it easy to prove if somebody's been on a WWE thing?
I was going to say, that seems like a very easy thing to disprove.
Yeah.
Oh, it was not a secret. He was like, yeah. In fact, he ran in part saying that Trump had endorsed him for the Nevada race.
Oh.
And so he was like, I'm the only person in this race to get an endorsement from Trump. And then Trump endorsed one of the other people.
That's how that stuff will go if you're not careful. Now that you're in the Lone Star State, do you think Matthew McConaughey is really going to run for governor at some point? Yeah, this seems like no, really? Okay.
No.
Interesting. My wife's reading his book right now, and it made me remind me to ask you that, because I guess he's,
I don't know. I don't really know. Matthew McConaughey sure likes talking about politics. It's not like Texas is foreign to the idea of celebrities or non-politicians running. Texas does, fetishize on some level its ability to be mavericks and think outside the box. Mm. McConaughey is certainly of that ilk. I think he would be somebody that would probably be best qualified as a centrist leaning Democrat, I guess. I think he would much rather just be Matthew McConaughey than actually run for office. I think you really have to not like your current gig to run for political office.
Yeah. To give it up for something like that.
It needs to feel like that.
Like, oh, the Rock's gonna run. And it's like, The Rock, I might buy because he also like willingly wakes up at 2:30 every morning and eats 50,000 calories so he can look like a
four dozen eggs. Yeah,
person. So it's like he obviously has some level of like dedication and sacrifice that goes beyond those of mortal humans. So I could understand him saying like,
"No, he really likes acting."
Yeah,
I mean, I can't.
Oh, sure, yeah, but that's my thing is like. The Rock makes some level of sense only because he already doesn't enjoy the acting life the way that every other action star does. Right.
Okay. All right.
Like every other action star, you know, every once in a while, there's going to be a shot of them in Us Weekly with a beer gut, right? Because like in the time between Fast and the Furious movies, Jason Statham will just, you know, have sex with models and do cocaine in Ibiza and do backflips off a mega yacht or something. Like The Rock is, no matter what, at any time, constantly, he's either on set or he's eating raw protein or he's lifting weights.
Yeah.
That's it.
Those are kind of his three
states. Sometimes all three at once.
That's kind of his thing. And he also strikes me as somebody who, if he says things like, well, I'm concerned about civic life, I believe him. Like, I believe that guy really believes that because, again, he's motivational Bill. Like, he's just, everything's just do it and eat all the eggs and pump all the iron and make all the movies and buy my mom a mansion.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to tell you. If there's anything that anybody listening to me should take is that never trust or believe a politician. Like, that's a dumb thing to do.
It is
never
dumb.
Think that. Of any politician at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether or not he's true to his values. What I do know is he's got the dedication to actually utilize what a celebrity candidate can do, which is more easily draw attention. The problem is when you think you can do it on the schedule that you promote a movie or you promote a television show or you plug flat tummy tea on your Instagram, that is not the case. In politics, it is every day, every 12 hours, you have to be out there talking about a thing, mixing things up. That's how fundraising works. That's how the political news cycle works. The Rock is somebody that I think could do it in a way that I think Matthew McConaughey would get like 3 days into a political schedule and then you'd be like, I don't know, man. I think we need to rethink this.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. His book. My wife's reading me passages from his book. I don't know why she's even reading it. Her brother recommended it, and it's weird because everything she says, you can't but help hear him do it in the way he does anything
in his voice. Yeah, right.
Even her saying it, and she's not doing an impression. I still can hear it because it's just so him. Which makes me, you know, if you're worried about him not being the one that wrote the book, I got good news. He may have had help, but it sounds like him reading it. All right, Brian or Justin, I want to play a clip, and then we're going to talk about this clip. Okay,
sure.
This is a little bit last minute, but here it is. About, I don't know, 45 seconds or so. Let's get into it.
I want to prove that it is absolutely possible if we only do it together.
California, it's time to reopen our schools, reopen our businesses. Reopen the Golden Gates. So I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, I'm running to be governor for all Californians. To reclaim our true identity, to bring back the gold to the Golden State.
I'm waiting for the big ending here, this big ending.
Now is the time to achieve that summit, to be the shining city on the hill, and together we'll restore and renew the California dream.
It's about what happens from here. It's not just about one person. It's about all of us.
Boy, that is some Bruckheimer bullshit there at the end. That's pretty strong Hollywood there. All right. Caitlyn Jenner running for governor. Well, not running for governor, doing a recall.
No, running for governor.
I guess running either way, right? Like a recall is just another run. Just off
that
schedule.
That is a gubernatorial campaign.
Yeah.
Just a reminder for everybody, the California recall operates on a single ballot, two question system, wherein you are asked, do you want to recall the current governor of California, Gavin Newsom? Yes or no? If yes, then who would you like to replace them? The person that replaces the governor, if yes wins, is the person with a simple majority. Don't need to have a plurality. Don't need to be over a certain threshold. If everybody got 3% and you got 4%, congratulations, Mr. or Mrs. Governor.
Yeah. And you think now this is official and this feels like a, you know, a sweeping dramatic entry. Any chance that Caitlyn Jenner wins this? Do you think she's got the what it takes in a 2021 world to grab the world by the collar and say, I'm a Republican transgender person and I'm in here to win it? Do you think this is going to work out for her or what?
I mean, again, anybody's ability to beat Gavin Newsom in the recall is going to depend on whether or not they can sow enough doubt in his job that they can get a majority of those who go out to vote no, that he does need to be recalled. So in that case, no matter what, whoever is running needs to pile on. And in my opinion, there needs to be fresh problems by the time that this vote comes around in the fall. So mm-hmm. there needs to be things that go wrong in California, up to and including blackouts, wildfires, riots, what have you. I think that there needs to be other signs of Gavin Newsom decaying California, mostly because the things that people were most upset about him about are getting better now. Mm-hmm. Now, you can criticize what went on during that time, but now, you know, schools are reopening. Businesses are reopening. I believe in my old neighborhood, this week would be the first time that anybody would be able to go and just sit indoor at a bar and have a drink because it has moved into that tier. So I think that's just going to lighten the mood for a lot of people. That being said, for Caitlyn Jenner specifically, she's an interesting concept of a candidate if you believe that the identitarian issues that run very deep in a state that effectively is a one-party rule. There are so many more registered Democrats than Republicans in California that effectively you can't run as a Republican candidate in California statewide. If you are a Republican, you kind of de facto have to run as an independent candidate. That being said, I don't think that she quite has the work ethic. Unlike The Rock, she is far past the point where I think she's waking up and eating 14 raw eggs and then pumping iron and doing that kind of stuff. So I don't quite know where Caitlyn's discipline is to run. She announced about a week and a half ago and then didn't really say anything until both this announcement and then an almost assuredly planted TMZ appearance where she decided to step in the middle of the transgender sports debate. And that is something where I really don't think that's a play for her in California. It seems to me more of a play for her to kind of enter into the national consciousness of conservative pundits. And she is tailor made for that because it is obviously a complication for straight identitarian political lines of the idea that Democrats own the concept of all trans issues. She is, you know, obviously a complication to that, but I don't know if that really plays or makes a difference in California.
And are there any other people that I just haven't noticed who have also stepped up to this and said, I want a piece of this recall? And
there's a couple California Republicans who are effectively the Washington Generals to the Democrats, Harlem Globetrotters that just constantly take L's as if they are going to return them back to the recycling plant for a 5-cent donation. One of them, I believe John Cox is his name. He is going to announce his candidacy while next to a live bear in Sacramento this week.
Are we sure it's not a guy dressed as a bear?
We don't know. All we know is that his logo is a roaring bear, and he has promised in his press release that it is a live bear.
All right. If he's the guy in our stories today, Brian, we will know him because he'll smell.
That's a callback to a dude who walked from L.A. to San Francisco in a bear costume,
and he smelled like Doritos. So we'll
smelled
know
like ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could only imagine. It was pretty stench on something.
Pretty
like that.
Pretty bad. Well, all right. So I heard something about what's his name? Randy Quaid running. Is that true? Do you know if that's the thing?
He's got to leave Canada first, isn't he? Right, still out there next time.
Hold on. Yeah. You have paid more attention to Randy Quaid than many people I've known ever. You certainly have a fascination with Randy Quaid and his modern world of missives that he issues online.
Oh, 100%.
Do you think that Randy Quaid is going to run?
Oh, here it is. Okay, Newsweek says, their article is, here are Randy Quaid's California governor odds compared to Caitlyn Jenner's, but Randy Quaid said, oh, great, it's in a tweet. I promise that if elected, I will clean up the district attorney's offices throughout the state, says Randy Quaid for governor. He claims he's running and that he's running for governor.
Let's remember that there is a line between celebrity candidates and then people that would actually win. Arnold Schwarzenegger, like The Rock, you know, somebody that I believe had a unique element of dedication and discipline that made him a natural politician. He found the right slipstream with a very unpopular governor in Gray Davis, where they had the power failures and the brownouts that really kind of put him in a vulnerable position that led to his recall. But I think that the vast majority, if you remember that race, the vast majority of those candidates, you know, like Mary Carey, the porn star, and a few other fringe celebrities, Gary Coleman, I believe, ran.
He did.
Those were more along the Randy Quaid line. Like, people that are going to be able to say, I'm running for governor, because it doesn't take a whole lot of money.
He should be, if he doesn't get the main deal, he should be her running mate. Then he can be a lieutenant governor. And then when people say, can we talk to the governor? And if her schedule's full, he can say Jenner's full. That's a terrible joke. I went a long way to get to, and I'll never tell it again. Hey, anyway.
You feel way more confident dancing around any Caitlyn Jenner commentary than I do.
Hey, look, I am
doing my best. I feel like I've been studying this landmine chart for months. And like I am convinced that like I have like in my head the old like dance step, like the 19th, right,
the dotted line
step chart. Like I am oh boy, am I not anything that I get in trouble for any kind of Caitlyn Jenner commentary is because I mean to try and get in trouble.
But hold on, for the record, that was a joke about a Christmas Vacation and him saying shitter's full. So I don't know why.
So
that
you're
was
saying that Caitlyn Jenner is a shitter?
No, I'm saying her schedule's full.
See, these are the kinds of things that you're putting yourself in the line of possibly being interpreted with, and I am not.
That was not.
That's all I'm saying. See, I'm not saying that you screwed up.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you're braver than I am.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Tally in the chat, never seen a Vacation movie. Well, then good. Make sure we talk about that. All right. Well, there you have it. It's looking weird in California, and I'm excited about it because these are fun to watch.
Yeah. I guess the one thing that you would say is with that video, you can get a sense that she's got some degree of money behind her. She's in a position where she needs to act more and be more normal, if that makes sense. And I don't mean that in any way other than the fact that she comes from the bombastic Kardashian universe. And so Caitlyn is going to have to ground herself more in a leadership kind of role, be seen in leadership roles if she is to be taken seriously. The other question is just, you know, where is that constituency? You know, how many people are, you know, Democrat and Republican see her as somebody that should be in leadership? That is a very open question. I'll be very curious to see polling.
Yeah. Some people in the chat are surprised that she would run as a Republican, but some of that video in that ad is straight out of the Republican National Convention, I think, or of some year or another. I thought it was 2016, but she was a pretty avid Trump supporter for a long time during his presidency. She was a little upset at him toward the end, but yeah, she's a conservative. And the last time someone else asked, when's the last time California had one? Zarni, right? I think. And he wasn't...
A Republican governor or a trans governor?
No, a Republican
governor has never happened.
No, a Republican governor, not a trans governor.
For a Republican trans governor, unless, you have to go really far back.
Well, unless Arnie has something to tell us about, I don't know. But as far as I know, the last Republican governor was
The last Republican governor was Schwarzenegger. And look, California has a lot of the same makeup as like New York. It is effectively a one party rule state. Like they don't have a functional opposition party in California. So recall is the most realistic way that you could have somebody from the opposition get into power. I'm curious that you would look at that ad and see it as particularly partisan. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from her attacking Newsom, it seemed fairly, if you took out Caitlyn Jenner and put in generic Democrat, I feel like it would run largely like the same ad. Mm-hmm. It was fairly stock, like rah, rah, we can do it. Are we great? But lately, something else has made us not great, like scary piano music. Like, but I think we're also great. And then, like sunshine stock photo, and like, broom, like, and then a bunch of images of other stuff that is totally unrelated to her campaign. Like, and that's why I'm gonna do a thing, and I need. It's usually a lot of montages of like a bunch of people like looking in different like races and colors and ages. Mm-hmm. And like, they're like, your health. Like, that's pretty much every political ad. Yeah.
Slow motion family, you know, smiling at the camera.
Yeah. Running and giving a thumbs up about something. Mm-hmm.
Superimposed, 50-50 opacity, flag.
Yep.
Because, you know, if you even listen to the ad, she doesn't really even say Democrat.
No. Well, at one point she says, I don't care if you're
politicians. And that's really what she says. She says career politicians did this to
us. Right.
Not Democrats did this to us.
She does at one point say, I don't care if you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat. I want to change. Blah, blah, blah. So there's clearly an effort in this thing to say, you know, to a avoid whatever, you know, stating out loud whatever party you are or what party you're opposed to, and more just say, this is a problem for everybody, and so I'm the one to fix it, no matter who you are or whatever.
Like that is, you know, the Caitlyn Jenner campaign is trying to run something that is beyond modern, you know, positions. Like, and obviously, look, like, she didn't mention Trump. Mm. She didn't mention anything that has happened recently. The story she is attempting to tell is one specifically about California and specifically about the fact that, you know, these same politicians come in and make these decisions. And that's why the state has a problem.
Right.
And I guess what she's hoping is that Democrats are like, yep, it's these same politicians, and Republicans are like, yep, it's the Democrats.
Yeah, that's kind of how this stuff goes every time. Well, we'll see how it goes. It'll be a fun sideshow for people not in the state and that don't have to worry about it as much, but we can kind of watch it from afar.
That is going to be the big event for this year. Like, that is going to be the big election that happens nationwide that people are going to pay attention to. The real question is, and now it looks unlikely as things in California have rebounded a bit, was whether or not a Democrat was going to run. Mm. Because a Democrat running would be very, very interesting to challenge Gavin Newsom. The other side was, because remember, if Newsom is recalled, there is the question from the state party of whether or not you need, it's malpractice if you do not put a Democrat amongst that list of candidates that that would be voted on later. So yeah. It's like, all right, well, even if like if Newsom's not here, like should we also have, you know, somebody else that is on there? And we have yet to see any kind of decision on that.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about that, because you the default position is, well, we like our guy who's in, and you're all the ones challenging him, so we're going to back him as a party because he's our guy and he's in already, and that's the thing. But if it's a really contested field, then yeah, you are doing yourself a disservice by not having a backup plan. I guess I don't know. I didn't even think about that till you just said it. That's interesting, because in my head I'm thinking that
is a decision that they are going to have to make going forward. But
yeah,
man, I can't wait. I want to get out there. I think the more I talk about it, I think I got to do a live show back out there.
That's great.
For recall night.
Do it.
That'd be really fun.
Do it. I would watch that. And I look forward to state attorney general Randy Quaid joining the fray. It's going to be great.
Randy Quaid. Who would you like to see? Is there a celebrity you'd enjoy entering the race?
Well, we mentioned The Rock, and I would like to see that. I like The Rock. I actually have some Pollyannish sort of belief that he'd be a pretty good leader in some sort or another.
Can I ask why?
I don't know. I think you can ask. I don't know if I can give you a good answer. Here's my answer. I don't know if it's good.
Yeah.
I think that dude is super motivated to get shit done. And yes, it might right now be make your muscles bigger and make your movies bigger.
Gains.
Yeah. Right.
Cut taxes on raw eggs.
But I think there's something about his personality that tells me, at least in the context of the world of politics, he would try really hard to like do good stuff for people. And like I said, it's a Pollyannish attitude. I understand the politics.
Are you aware that that is almost exactly the appeal that folks have to Trump?
No, I'm not aware of that because
it is 100%.
Okay. Well, I understand that, but not 100% because last I checked,
no, you can think they're wrong.
No. What I'm saying is we don't have a long history of, let's just, you know, I don't want to go down the whole list, but I didn't ever hear The Rock say he's going to grab anybody by the pussy. I didn't hear Rock.
Hear about Trump until he was well into running and people were already kind of behind him. So the question would then be, let's say you had all those feelings and you were really backing The Rock. And then there was some recorded audio from backstage at a SmackDown taping in Anaheim, California in 1997, where The Rock was making some really lewd comments. Would your opinion change?
Yeah, it would. It would tell me that his character is different than he's portrayed up till now, and it would really bum me out. Yeah, it would change. Of course, it would change. That's my whole point with the whole Trump thing. If it doesn't bug you,
I actually don't even want to go down this road, but mostly because I think that the only thing that I was trying to draw a circle around was what you just described, this innate idea, and it might be beyond even actual reason, that somebody's public persona is indicative enough of their actual personality. That is part of all celebrity candidates, right? And our brains fill in that assurity for many, many different reasons. But certainly was the case for Trump, who had projected himself as a no-nonsense businessman. And so people believed maybe if he wasn't pure of heart, he was pure of mind, and he would cut the BS.
I agree with you on all of those points, but you asked me who would I pick if I had to pick somebody of this run. So I gave you a name, and then you said, now you realize that's just like Trump. Like, that was a trap you put me in right then.
I enjoyed
my time in the trap.
You're misremembering how we got here. we got here because you said I have a Pollyannish idea of what I believe The Rock's leadership qualities would be.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get into that, mostly because, again, I do think that there are similarities to all celebrity candidates. And I think Trump is probably the biggest example of a celebrity candidate. And that view of like, oh, I just kind of think they've got it going on is alienating to people when you're looking on the outside of it, because it is hard to explain. It's hard to understand. And that's my only point.
Yeah,
that's
no, it's point. A good point. I agree with that point. It turns out. I just think it's funny how we got there. All right. Hey, we did it. We got it. We're going to follow this thing real close over there at Politics, Politics, Politics. Yeah, that's right. PX3, everybody. Check it out. Make sure you do. You mentioned what you were doing this week, but mention it again so people know what they're tuning in for.
We are talking Trump. We don't normally talk Trump these days on PX3, mostly because I don't think he is relevant until he affects races either through money, endorsement, or an announcement of his own candidacy. However, we do have some of those elements that have bubbled up over the last few days. There was this race out here in Texas that I'm going to break down for everybody, including the first kind of hint of what our modern political meta might indeed be. There is some retribution for Trump opponents up in Washington, D.C., including an ever-evolving situation with Liz Cheney, who may or may not lose her job in Republican leadership over the next few hours, and an interview with senior Politico writer Michael Cruz about a race out in Ohio that is yet another Trump enemies list contest, where one of the representatives that voted for his impeachment is now up for reelection, and he is facing a very Trump-centric and positioned challenger. That is all on PX3. Go ahead and find it where all politics or podcasts in general are found.
That sounds good. Justin R. Young on Twitter. We'll see you next week.
See you.
Bye now.
The jury will now retire.
Ah, damn it.
The jury will now retire.
Good enough. Good enough.
It's okay. Late is better than not at all, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that our attitude?
Mm-hmm. Better late than never, I believe, is how the phrase.
I will goes. Say this one thing about Caitlyn Jenner that has nothing to do with any of this. And it has nothing to do with her trans status or any of that. Mm-hmm. Before the transition and before any of this, she got a nose job. And I think she needs her money back. Now, I don't mean it looks bad. Okay. It looks fine. Mm-hmm. But that plastic surgery has made it so she can barely breathe. And she sounds like she's having a really hard time getting breath in. And that's all I'm saying. I'm saying go back and get your money back. Go back to the nose guy and say, hey, I sound like I can barely get air through this thing that you gave me. I'd like either a better nose or I would like my $5,000 back or whatever it was she paid for it. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. That's well said. Yeah, because it, right.
It's a bad nose. It's not a good
nose. It's a bad nose. It's a bad nose.
Yeah, it's just a bad nose.
It affects her voice in horrible ways.
It just really, really bums me out because I know behind that nose, and our nose has so much to do with how we speak and how we sound, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just not good. Mm-hmm. So get a better nose. I'm just saying, if you're going to get a fake nose, get a good nose.
No, no, you're good. You're good.
Like, Brian, if you said to me, I'm going to get a replacement knee, I would say, Brian, get the best replacement knee you can get. That's what I would say.
Yes, and I'd end up with the nose is the problem. Sticking out of the middle of my leg. And
yeah. Well, look, I'm not against body augmentation. Just get a better one. All right. Hey, quick email here from Jeff Sire in Canada, from Ontario, our good pal Jeff, who I think may have just motorcycled past Colorado. I saw some photos.
Oh, really? Oh, well, thanks a lot, Jeff, for not swinging by to say hello.
It may have been like an old like Facebook memory and I read it wrong, but I saw that and went, oh, cool. And then why didn't he call?
That could be it, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, he wrote in, says, Smoochie and Boochie. I worked nights last night. Woke up mid-afternoon and looked at my updated podcast feed and saw the title of today's show, Jeff's Kiss. I was struck with anxiousness. This is a few days ago.
Yeah.
I'm not prone to bouts of terror, or it might have been terror. My wife is currently dealing with kidney stone issues, so I'm attempting to be extra nice and thoughtful to her. You know, sincerely, I try to throw that around when I can. So I've been sending her texts and smiley faces and short emails telling her I wish I could kiss it all better. You know, shit like that. He says, you know, shit that the chicks like. Jeez. anyway, he says, oh no, had one of my kissy emails that I just sent this morning. Sent to the morning stream, was about to be mocked with no mercy. No, just another Scott waking hallucination. Jeff Sire. So what he thought happened is the title came from maybe one of his emails accidentally getting to us that was all kissy and lovey-dovey to his wife, but it wasn't. So Jeff, yeah. You're safe. Different Jeff altogether. It. You're good.
I know. I'm kind of bummed. We've never gotten a mistext in a situation like that.
Not that I know of.
Unless some of your booby shots that you've received over the years were.
Not that I know of.
Mistext.
That's possible. Oh, that's possible, isn't it? I never thought of that. It
could be. By the way, I'd like to clear up, Jeff, it's not Smoochy and Boochie. It's Snoochy with an N. Snoochy Boochies.
Yeah, but I think what he's saying is Smoochy, like kissy.
Oh, okay. Well, then what's Boochie? I think he's crossing the streams with the kissy mistexts and the... Oh, look at this. I'm getting a call right now from Rocky Mountain Gastro.
Uh-oh.
That's got to be a fun...
Uh-oh.
Oh, I bet actually that's one. Yeah, I think actually that's a specialist calling about my colonoscopy.
Oh, are you really getting one?
Have to, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Get one, dude. Get one. You got
to
get one.
Supposed to get one at 50.
Yeah. You're already late.
Yeah.
Got to get in there. Get that
I'm going. Late. I know I'm late.
I got mine early, so I don't have
to
do it for
get out of my
years.
Butt, Scott.
Get off my
make
butt.
Room for the, make room for the colonoscopy.
Make sure Tina records you're coming out of it, but you gotta
do it. Oh, there's no way in hell I'm letting her do that.
You gotta let her do it. I want to hear what you have to say. If you end up giving up, you know, state secrets or something weird, don't worry about it. You don't have to play it here. But, you know, if you say something like, I don't know, oh, Eric God. Clapton is
I could have had that anesthesiologist.
I just want to, you know.
If I weren't married.
How about
that guy on Twitter lied?
You might do that.
Yeah, that one, yes. That's the far better one.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. Brian, quick note about ANTP. What's going on?
Yeah. So just posted this morning the submissions from our four contestants for the editing challenge. Each one of them got a recording of an interview done by our own Monica here on TMS and ANTP that she did with stuntwoman and actress Danielle Bergio. They all got the same interview filled with traps, filled with mistakes, filled with problems, and it was their job to clean it up and turn it into a podcast. What did they do? Well, find out by going to America's Next Top Podcaster and listening to the four submissions.
I think it's one of the hardest ones, personally.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was a difficult challenge. One person, according to one of our judges, made the decision very easy.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. We'll let you guess just what judge that was.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Definitely
so,
wasn't
me. Give a listen to the four entries, and then tomorrow you'll be able to hear who went home for their recording.
Here's the sound I predict Brian makes after his colonoscopy. Here you go. Ready? Here goes.
Okay. All right.
There you go. That's the sound.
That's about right.
Yeah.
It's a turtle.
It's a turtle.
Is that a turtle?
Turtle having
orgasm?
Sex. Yeah. Turtles having sex is one of nature's great things, man. It's so good. All right. We're going to be done now. Thanks for being here, everybody, and hanging out with us on the show. We really do appreciate it. A reminder of our patronage over at patreon.com/TMS. Without it, there's no show. Literally, there's no show. So be there and do it. Patreon.com/TMS for everything else you might need to know. frogpants.com/TMS and check out that Rock Runners before it ends tomorrow morning. That'll be rockrunners.art for those interested folks.
Oh, nice.
That'll do it. Brian, let's get out of here with a song. Do you have one?
I have a song. This one actually is going out to our buddy, TMS Mashups. It says, "Dear Scissors and Beans, don't mix the two. Ouch. This year has been challenging so far, to say the least, with my wife being diagnosed with a chronic illness and me being off work for months waiting for shoulder surgery. We certainly didn't need to have to move house at the same time. Yet, That's how life goes sometimes. Thankfully, after only viewing two units, we found the perfect unit for our family, Canadians, and we moved in May 1st. We are blessed, or blessed, to be able to stay in the same community we have grown to love over the past several years and hope to stay there for as long as we can. Brian, you need nothing from me for a song choice. Why am I even bothering to ask? Moving prayers answered? Moving on up? I'll stop wasting your time. Play a damn song to celebrate our move. Barring that, Scott can definitely see why I like turtles.
Oh my gosh, that's funny you said the turtles thing, because I have the turtles right here.
I know. Played that other turtle song.
Yeah, so here you go.
I like turtles.
All right, there's that. what was the other
Where
one?
Where is that kid now? That kid probably is like an accountant in
I'd love to know.
Rochester, New York. You know?
I love meme follow-ups. I would love to find out where that kid is right now. Someone find out where that kid is. And then there's this.
I can definitely see why you like it.
There you go. Both of them, Jamie.
Well done. Nice combo. Still loving the pupits of the leftist, though, Jamie. TMS mashups. Jamie, you had me at moving on up. If there's one thing I like, it's a good TV theme cover. Wish I had one, but no, I'm kidding. This is a pretty good one. It's by a guy named Halfway Hamill. Okay. He did this thing in 2012 called TV Time. It was a single that had two songs on it, had the Scooby-Doo Where Are You theme, and then had this version of the Jeffersons theme, which I think Scott has a recent connection to.
That's hilarious. Okay, cool.
Yep. Wow. And moving on up here, the theme song to the Jeffersons, covered by Halfway Hamill, going out to TMS mashups.
Sweet. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of the show. Come on back then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Pizza.
Oh.